You're listening to Central Time. I'm Shereen Seward in for Rob Ferret. During the pandemic, the federal government expanded the child tax credit for families with dependents. And as a result, an historic amount of children were lifted out of poverty in 2021. Fast forward to 2022, however, lawmakers in Washington let the expanded child tax credit from the pandemic lapse, and the U.S. Census report showed the child poverty rate went back up that year more than 12%. A new bipartisan bill the House of Representatives passed last week, by a large margin, by the way, seeks to expand the child tax credit once again. It wouldn't be quite as significant as the pandemic policy, but the bill also includes measures to restore some tax cuts for businesses, as well as improve access to low-income housing. But in this next conversation, we're going to focus on what the re-expanded child tax credit could mean for families. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did the 2021 expanded child tax credit benefit you and your family? And how did it help? Did it make a difference? If you weren't impacted by it, what thoughts do you have about the government offering that extra assistance? What do you think about Congress letting the expanded credit lapse? And did that policy ending affect you personally? We'd love to hear your story if you feel comfortable sharing. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Sarah Halpern-Meekin is a professor in the Department of Human Development and Family Studies and the Follett School of Public Affairs at UW-Madison. She is also an affiliate of the Institute for Research on Poverty at UW. Sarah, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get into this new bill, let's back up to 2021 and the early pandemic expanded child tax credit. What was the scope of it back then? What did it do?
There were two large changes to the expanded child tax credit that we experienced in 2021. One was that it substantially increased the value of that tax credit, and especially so for younger children, those under six. And then the other big change was that it delivered the tax credit monthly. So most of us are used to experiencing tax credits at tax time, but this delivered a check to families every month for 6 months from, I believe, July through December. Then families were able to get the remaining value of that tax credit when they filed their taxes in 2022.
Looking back on this now, what do we know about precisely how this tax credit was able to help families? What was the impact?
So it lifted millions of children out of poverty. The child poverty rate at the time that families were getting that monthly child tax credit in 2021 was 11.5%. So just over one out of every 10 children was living in poverty. That was due in large part to the child tax credit, but also to many of the other supports that were expanded in those early years of the pandemic. In contrast, today, the child poverty rate is around 18%. So nearly two out of every 10 children is living in poverty.
What do you think was the most helpful aspect of it? Was it the fact that they were getting it every month? Was it the amount? What was it exactly that made this so effective?
Well, mechanically, in terms of affecting poverty, just putting more money in families' pockets is going to lift families over the poverty line and going to boost children out of poverty. So in terms of affecting poverty rates, just giving more money to people has that effect. I think for families, you know, their experience of it really varied in terms of what they found most useful. So for some families who are struggling to cover the bills each month, having additional money to help them do that was essential. For other families who could maybe cover the bills already, this gave them the opportunity to do some extras, right? Allow their kid to participate in an extracurricular activity or join a sports team. Those sorts of things that might have strained their budgets before, but that this additional money every month opened up the possibility of.
When you look back and you think that expanded child tax credit was so successful from a data standpoint, what were the conversations like about the renewal? Because it didn't get renewed. It wasn't made permanent. So what were some of the arguments that were happening at that time?
So there were concerns both about the budgetary implications of having that sort of expansion continue. And there were also concerns, especially from many in the Republican Party in the House and Senate, that this would disincentivize work.
What do you think about that? Do policies like this disincentivize work?
So I don't think we have a clear answer. I think the research tends to indicate that it largely does not. There is the possibility that it might allow some parents who are working full time to cut back on their hours a little bit so they can spend more time with their kids. It's a values question, whether or not we think that's preferable. And it's especially, I think, a values question when we think about the importance or not of encouraging work for the parents of the youngest children, who often face a trade-off between their childcare options, both in quality and the expense of those options, against employment. So I don't think we've seen strong evidence that it does decrease employment, but I also think it's a values question whether or not we ought to be as concerned about employment.
When that tax credit lapsed, what did we revert to? So what's the existing picture right now?
So the way the child tax credit works now is that if your earnings are very high or very low, you don't get it at all. For families in the middle, they can get up to $2,000 per year per child as a tax credit. But among families who do get it, those whose earnings are kind of at that lower end, they only get a portion of that $2,000. So they don't get the full value of the credit. So just as an example, a single parent with one child has to earn nearly $25,000 a year to get the whole value of the tax credit. We have to keep in mind that someone who works full time at minimum wage for the whole year only earns $14,000. So there are many earners who are not earning enough to get the full value of the credit. In fact, about one in four children live in families that don't get the full credit because their earnings are too low.
We mentioned in the intro that the child poverty rate increased again, and we talked about that a little bit already. Are researchers or policymakers sure there is a causal link here? I mean, do we know that the uptick in childhood poverty directly correlated with the ending of this credit?
So what the poverty rate calculates is how much income families have coming in. And when we calculate it certain ways, we count the value of taxes and transfers, like refundable tax credit, such as the child tax credit. And so we can see mechanically that removing this money from families' annual income pushes them below that poverty line. And so it's a pretty clear link between those two.
We're talking with Sarah Halperin-Meekin about the expanded child tax credit that is under consideration right now at the federal level. You can weigh in too, 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Plenty of time to give us a call. When you look at this new bill, what precisely would it change on the tax credit front? Would it go back to giving those monthly payments, or are we going to again see it at the end of the year at tax time?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the new legislation proposes to do two primary things. One is to expand who can get the full value of the credit to include more earners. And the other is that it sets the full value of the credit to rise with inflation, because the value of the credit gets undermined over time if it's not adjusted as other prices rise with inflation. It also creates a look-back provision, and that allows tax filers to use this year's or last year's income to determine their tax credit size. That's a little bit in the weeds. It's mostly only useful to people who have a lot of instability in their earnings. But to your question, this does not create a monthly child tax credit again. So this would work the way the child tax credit has worked for years, which is when you file your taxes at tax time, this would get factored into either cutting your tax burden or increasing the size of your tax refund.
Do you ever see a scenario in which we would ever go back to seeing those monthly payments again?
There are certainly advocates who are interested in seeing that happen. There's not much that makes it through Congress these days. So the fact that this legislation has made it through on a bipartisan basis, I think is really notable. But I wouldn't expect to see that kind of change soon.
And if this bill passes, is it going to be a permanent change, or is there another sunset provision here?
This is actually a really short-term bill. So these are temporary changes that would only last through 2025.
That's it. So at that point, then Congress would have to take it up again.
Yes, as with many of the other tax laws that we have on the books, they sunset after a few years, often for budgetary reasons. So I think we would again see this sort of discussion about both business tax credits and the child tax credit coming up again in a couple of years.
So that's the reason why these aren't permanent. It's because it's because of the budget. I mean, or is it because they just want to have a chance to see how it works? I mean, what's the general thinking there?
I think there are probably different reasons for different people. It's certainly affects how we think about things when we get to consider short-term budget numbers. And we can also be a bit more confident about those short-term budget numbers than when we need to project out, say, 10, 20, 30 years.
We're talking with Professor Sarah Halpern-Meakin from the Department of Human Development and Family Studies and La Follette School of Public Affairs at UW-Madison. We're talking about an effort in Congress to re-expand the child tax credit and how that could impact families around the country. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for our guest? Do you want to see this child tax credit expanded again? And what do you want to know about how it would work or who would be eligible? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Shereen Seward, in for Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our talk with Sarah Halpern-Meakin from UW-Madison about the House-passed bill that would, among other things, expand the child tax credit. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Call 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. When we're talking about these child tax credits, does it only count for families with children younger than 18, or can somebody get that if their child is in college? What's the nuts and bolts about that?
Yeah, so they need to be 17 or under to qualify for this particular tax credit. Obviously, those rules can get complex from tax credit to tax credit. They're not consistent across all tax credits. But for the child tax credit, we're looking at 17 and under.
I understand there are some groups already making projections about how this new potential expanded child tax credit could impact things like child poverty rate. So what more can you tell us about that? Who would benefit and what impact would you expect that this legislation would have?
So from the projections I've seen, we'd be looking at around 16 million children whose families' earnings are too low to qualify for the full tax credit currently would start to receive that full amount. And as this is phased in over 2024 and 2025, that would be expected to lift about 500,000 children over the poverty line and boost family incomes for another 5 million children who are living in poverty. So that adds up to about a 5% cut in child poverty. That's certainly nothing to poo-poo, but it's when we compare it to the 35% cut in child poverty that we saw with the temporary expansion of the child tax credit in 2021, it's a smaller change to the child poverty rate.
And there has been criticism from some Democrats for the bill that says it doesn't go far enough to support low-income families. And there's some speculation about whether or not this will pass because some Democrats are saying we're not going to vote for it unless it does more. If you had lawmakers' ears, what would you like to see policy improvements? What would you like to see done?
So when I would speak to policymakers, I'd share information with them. I think they need to represent the values of their constituents. And some of those values might lead to support for this bill. Some might lead to opposition. You know, we've seen both bipartisan support for this bill as well as bipartisan opposition for different reasons, that opposition. So I think I would want to share the sort of information we've been talking about today, the kind of impact we would expect it to see on child poverty and the reasons why we might think it's useful to have families put more money, be able to have more money to spend on their children. It's up to policymakers, right, to weigh those benefits against any concerns that they have with the bill or against any sort of values-based opposition that they might have.
You know, just picking your brain a little bit, I guess if these tax credits don't continue, or even if they do, what are some other things that could reduce child poverty?
So some states have actually started creating their own child tax credits. 14 states, including our neighbors over in Minnesota, have a child tax credit. Wisconsin does not currently have a child tax credit. This actually includes a wide range of states, so it's not just those states that are typically more left-leaning. Idaho, Oklahoma, Utah have child tax credits as well. So that's one way, thinking about state policy levers that we can push to try to support families. In general, when we think about child poverty, we can think about ways to increase the amount of income that families have, and we can also think about ways to decrease the amount of costs that families face, because that also affects the sort of living conditions that children experience. And so things that can address families' needs around food, childcare, housing, those sorts of big, big ticket items can be really influential in the quality of life that children experience, especially in families with limited incomes.
Do you have a sense of how these kinds of tax credits have changed over time? Have we gotten stingier with them? Are we more willing to give those tax credits? What's the backstory?
So we've generally seen an expansion of distribution of supports through the tax system. So the child tax credit is the one that has gotten more attention in recent years. But we've also seen the earned income tax credit be another mechanism that we have for supporting working families. And since the early 1990s, we've seen fairly substantial increases in the earned income tax credit. So both that and the child tax credit have seen big boosts over the years. And that's in contrast with some other areas of our social safety net that have shrunk. So cash welfare, what we call W-2 here, that has become a much smaller player in the social safety net compared to these tax refunds.
If this goes through, who do you think will benefit the most? Is there a specific income bracket that will see the greatest potential help here?
Yeah, so this new legislation would boost the tax credit most for families with low to moderate earnings who have 2 to 3 children. So really, those folks who are have a good amount of income coming in, but are still, you know, really squeezed and are raising 2 to 3 children, they would see the largest gains from this proposed change to the child tax credit.
I'm really curious about this idea of paying the credit monthly versus one lump sum with the tax refund. We touched on that a little bit earlier. Is there a way that researchers or policymakers can compare those impacts and determine which might be more beneficial for families?
There would be a way for researchers to do it. You know, if we had lots of money, we could run an experiment where we give families some money, you know, every month, and we give it to other families in a lump sum once a year. So if anybody has a lot of money and wants to run an experiment, we certainly could do that. Otherwise, what we can do is we can compare the results of smaller experiments that give monthly cash to families. You know, there are guaranteed income experiments and those sorts of things happening in various cities in the United States. So we can look at the results from those, and then we can compare them to what we see in research that's been done on the earned income tax credit and the child tax credit, which come in a lump sum. We can also compare what we saw from those 6 months of monthly child tax credit payments to what we've seen from previous years. You know, those comparisons are not exact the way that we'd be able to do an experiment, but they can offer us some insights at least into starting to perhaps answer that question about how a lump sum versus monthly money works differently.
What are you going to be watching for as this bill waits to get some attention from the Senate?
I'm going to be looking to see what kind of support senators indicate. So we've already heard from our senators here in Wisconsin, some indications that Senator Johnson would be opposed, some indications that Senator Baldwin would support it. That actually doesn't follow with how things broke down during party lines on the House vote for the Wisconsin representatives. So I'll be looking to see what they indicate. But the Senate could also decide they want to make some changes to this legislation. And so we don't know what it'll ultimately end up looking like and what would ultimately go back to the House if the Senate passed something that was substantially different.
Well, we'll be watching for sure. Sarah, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah Halper-Meekin is a professor in the Department of Human Development and Family Studies and the Follett School of Public Affairs at UW-Madison and an affiliate of the Institute for Research on Poverty at UW. We talked to her today about a bill the House passed overwhelmingly last week that would expand the child tax credit and how that could benefit families in the United States and throughout communities in Wisconsin.